In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Lenten greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and we have entered the third Sunday of Lent. It's great to have you joining me here on this podcast, whether you're listening on the Hail Mary Media app or maybe checking this out on YouTube. Welcome. And I hope you are enduring with patience and joy this Lenten journey. We are on this third Sunday in Lent, and I want to point out just a couple of things because we're hearing the readings all year from year A for the Sunday gospel readings and liturgical readings. But for the third, fourth, and fifth Sunday in Lent, there's something special that's happening as we're preparing those catechumens, now called elect, for baptism at Easter Vigil. This is the big deal. I've talked a little bit about this in the past few weeks, but the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent, we have within the context of the Sunday Mass, a scrutiny. There are three scrutinies, these times of extra purification, preparation, and strengthening of these now elect, that they will be ready to receive the sacraments at Easter Vigil. And so there's particular prayers directed particularly to these men and women who are preparing for the sacraments. So I want to encourage you to, one, be aware of this, and two, be praying for these men and women. Number three, for those of you who are baptized Catholics, you've received all your sacraments, you are involved in the church, to consider being a sponsor for these candidates and catechumens, for these men and women preparing for the sacraments, not just this year, but in the years to come, that if you are faithfully on the journey, we need men and women of faith who are faithfully coming to the Lord, exposing their hearts to the Lord, to walk with these who are preparing to receive the sacraments. That's called a sponsor or a godparent. And so be aware of that, that we need you. We need you in the church. And finally, to know, maybe you don't see those elect in your church in the Mass that you're attending. Know that over all of the churches throughout the world, there are hundreds of thousands of men and women who are being prepared to receive baptism and to be fully initiated in the church, to make their profession of faith. Here in the states of Oregon and Washington alone, the record numbers are about 1,600 people preparing for the sacraments in the Diocese of Portland, and 1,600 people preparing for the sacraments in the Archdiocese of Seattle. That's just in two little archdioceses throughout this part of Western Oregon and Washington, where I live. And those numbers are growing in great numbers because the Lord continues to call, and we pray that His children will respond in kind. So listen to the readings. The theme for these readings that I want to pull out today, and it ties into the scrutinies, are divine thirst. We're going to hear the story of the wonderful conversation. This is a long conversation. We don't hear many of these with Jesus speaking to others in such a long, drawn-out way, particularly in this case to a woman, a Samaritan woman, a non-Jew. We hear a lot in this gospel reading today that is part of the first scrutiny for the Lenten season. So as we come together and ask for that divine water to wash over us and to guide us in our faith of Jesus Christ, let's open with the entrance antiphon heard in today's Mass. My eyes are always on the Lord, for He rescues my feet from the snare. Turn to me and have mercy on me, for I am alone and poor. Let us pray. O God,
author of every mercy and all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin. Look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we, who are bowed down by our conscience, may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Oreb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders in Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert, when your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Lord, you are truly the Savior of the world. Give me living water that I may never thirst again. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered and said to him, I do not have a husband. Jesus answered her, you are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true, the woman said to him. Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, what are you looking for, or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything that I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have truly heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful reading for this third Sunday in the Lenten journey. And we always have the Samaritan woman at the well for the year A and for the scrutiny readings, which happen to coincide this year, 2026. this divine thirst, I just want to point out a little bit as we look at the readings and then glance at some of the other readings and prayers that are heard during the celebration of the liturgy. We hear about the people's thirst with Moses in this first reading of Exodus. And we see a people very fickle. We see a people quick to judge, quick to be dissatisfied, quick to not believe that that God is with them. The question I have is, do you recognize that God is in your midst? Here are the people who have seen so many miracles. This was pointed out in an episode that Matthew Kelly is doing in the season of Lent. He has these great, he has a book on miracles and grace and wonders. And one of the episodes was on the grumbling of the Israelites as the Lord is leading them. Well, 400 years plus, they've been held captive as slaves. Moses comes to free them from slavery, you know, by the hand of God. They've witnessed the 12 plagues. They've seen the parting of the Red Sea. They've been spared by the demands, the oppressive demands of Pharaoh. And they've had manna that's been provided, daily food, just enough, not more, not less than what each and every person needs. They've been given food to eat. And now they're grumbling because for a period of time, not very long, they're in a part of the land where they can't find water. And so they're grumbling and grumbling and rising up against Moses. Do they trust that God is with them? And so Moses goes to the Lord. We hear the story. And this is what strikes me, is that this is how compassionate and present the Lord Almighty God is he tells Moses, you know, go holding that staff that you struck the river, go and now strike the rock. And God says, I will be standing there in front of you. Listen to that. I will be standing there in front of you. That God is there. He's there. I am. He's there in the presence of the people who are grumbling and not grateful for such an awesome God. And it says that this place where Moses struck the rock, the water was provided more for all of the people and all of their livestock. God provides not just water for their thirst today, living water, divine water, to provide for a divine thirst. The Lord is in our midst. They questioned that. They doubted that. Do you question and doubt the presence of the Lord? Wow. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. From Psalm 95 is the psalm we hear today. I want to just quickly look at the book of Romans, because there's a break in the reading from Romans. This is from chapter 5 on faith, hope, and love. And it goes from 1 to 8, but it skips a couple of verses. And I just want to read that verse because it engages us in this time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It also reminds me that the greatest love is the sacrificial love of Christ on the cross. And the greatest love comes from sacrifice. And here it says, what we don't hear today is, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. There's a reason for affliction. There's a reason for suffering. It is a mystery. The Paschal mystery is the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. His love is in that form of sacrificial love. And Paul is trying to pour that out on his disciples, on his hearers today. Christ, while we were still sinners, sacrificed everything for you and for me, for our neighbors and for our enemies. And quickly, I just want to look in this Gospel of John, chapter 4, at least 9 times the word water is mentioned in this dialogue between Jesus and the Samaritan at the well. And there's so many different meditations that have come about this gospel. And I guess to think about for you, for me, you know, what is my thirst? What am I thirsting for? And where do I go to be refreshed? Where do I go for refreshment? Do I just get a convenient refreshment that will comfort my thirst for now? Or do I seek that deeper refreshment? Do I go beyond what my palate tastes to what my heart and my soul is yearning for? And that is for the living God. Here in the words that Jesus says, he says, I am he. The woman finally goes from a conversation just about drawing water from a well, very superficial, and she's finally, it's getting deeper that there's something more going on here than just having a conversation with this person, that now she's wondering, is he a prophet? And eventually she's, is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he the anointed one? And Jesus is saying, I am he, the one who is speaking with you. I am the one who will provide living water. And I love how the people initially come because they've heard this interesting word, but we can't just go on the word of someone else. That may draw us into reading the Bible, coming into Mass, you know, learning about the sacraments is by the testament or the testimony of another. And that's good. We must share our testimony. But we have to go to the source. We have to go to the source. We need to go to the living word himself and have that personal encounter. And these Samaritans did that. I wonder if those Samaritans, through the testimony of this woman, followed Jesus the rest of his life up to the cross, up to the crucifixion, and became Christians. You know, we don't know that because of what's been documented in the scriptures, but are you one who will go to the word of God and be covered with that divine living water? We no longer believe because of your word. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. I opened by talking about the elect, those that are catechumens, that are preparing for baptism. Maybe they came because of a testimony of another. Maybe I just talked with another woman the other day, not a catechumen, but she had fallen away from her faith for many years. And she said, I came back to the Catholic Church because of watching the TV show, The Chosen. And actually another catechumen who was baptized last year in our class said the same thing. Somebody challenged me to watch the first episode of The Chosen. And I came to read the Bible, and I came to know for myself, who is this Jesus Christ? And so we need to go deeper. First, we get that thirst, and then we must go deeper into the divine nourishment, the divine thirst that can only be sustained and fulfilled by the living God, Jesus Christ. I am he. I am he. The Lord is in our midst. As God said to Abraham, I will be standing there in front of you. As communion closes on the third Sunday of Lent, we pray these words. The priest prays these words over us. And he says, as we receive the pledge of things yet hidden in heaven and are nourished while still on earth with the bread that comes from on high, we humbly entreat you, O Lord, that what is being brought about in us in mystery may come to true completion through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. O God, through the Samaritan woman, inspire us also to leave behind the heart's old water jars, grown too small to hold the living water, and drink deeply at the well of salvation, that we may run with eagerness to proclaim the gospel to all we meet. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.